According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants, and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight, today again, we come under you this hour. We come under your glory, under your light. We come under your face again today. We have no strength or help of ourselves, but that which only you have, that which only you give. Our eyes upon you for help. Our eyes upon you for strength. Against the strong, against the mighty. Thank you, Father. We appreciate your name for all that you have done. Thank you for the manner and the way you help your son to bring her to bless us. Thank you, Father, for release of your arm in this season over the people, by generation, in journey of life, in journey unto your life. Thank you, because you have not left us without mercy. You have always been there at all time. So even in this season, we are too confident that we are not alone, and that's why this hour is available. So we tap into all the resources that is presently being given to us, even in this short time to be spent again this afternoon, that will be unto us great help. Thank you, mighty Father. We appreciate your name. We give glory and honor to your name, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen together. Can we sound amen together? Praise the Lord. If Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then that cannot be an easy task. Then it also means that in the spirit is a landmark achievement or attainment. So if Jesus will get to that place. These things have I spoken unto you. That is John 16. That is towards the end of his ministry. It's towards the end. Are you with me today? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. But there are many things that want to disturb you in him. There are things that want to destabilize you in him, that will make that want to make you feel like you are not secured. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So it means that Jesus has a target ahead of him, and he knew when he cometh to the world, because it takes time for the Father himself to expose to the world. He doesn't just expose every child to the world. Because if you quickly expose us to the world, you will run away. Because nothing will remain in your hand. Praise God. But since we have learned Christ for some time, for some years, he can begin to introduce us to this part. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So that word, separates Creator from creation. Separates Creator from creation. But in the things in Him, so go back to that tree. And without Him was nothing made that was made. So we know in the beginning that in that beginning, there's a beginning of deity, which we don't know. Say amen. But in the beginning of creation, the set of creatures made there, which were called the sons of the morning, were the first. So they were the first in the beginning. So when you say beginning, so you can say beginning as the beginning that exists with creation. In that beginning, so all things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. And we're saying yesterday, when you say all things were made by Him, he's talking about spirits. It's not all sand or tree. It's spirits. What defines the material world is because of spirits. It's because of man. That's why the earth is like this, right? Say amen. Amen. Are we in the house, please? Yes, it's because of man that the earth has the biosphere. It's because of man that you can find water flowing here. It's because of man that you can see sand like this with their constituents and constitutions. It's man. It's a side of man that defines that. That's why when man dies, they return that part of man back to it to let you know that it was taken from it. So creation is what determines the habitations. So everything about this earth is inside man. It's in a side of man. So in that realm of the beginning is when the cherubs of the morning star rank were created. So you can say in a way, they are of the beginning. Say amen. We are not of the beginning. Man is not of the beginning. Man came in the space of time. But there are of the beginning. That's why Bab says, when he sinned, man was not yet created. So I say he sinned in the beginning. He's the one who sinned from the beginning. We don't know about it. Say amen. Are we in the house together, please? Hallelujah. So when you're talking about really about the light of creation, it's in their world. Is in their world. They are the one that they are custodian of that light. But there's a light that is higher than creation light. It's called the Creator light. Are we in the house, please? So all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Are you following me? So in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Was the light. You want to wonder, did man ever use this light? Light was the light of man. In Him was life, and the life was light. The life was light of man. So it means that before God created man, He has actually determined what kind of light man will use. Because when you read through Genesis chapter 1, it always says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Are you there with me? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. But that light, this light we saw here, it's not the light, it's talking about that the light should be the light of men. Are we in the house, please? So it means that God has lights that he gives to creatures to live by. So he's the father of lights. Can you see? So he has light for creatures. So in this world of the living soul, there was a light that they were supposed to start with. But that is not the light they are meant to end up with. So it means that before they were created, God had a light that's supposed to be the light of men. Let's see him further in that place. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness, are you with me? Comprehended it not. The light shineth in darkness. So will you say that when God said the light was the light of man, will you say that there had been darkness then? When God brought in that light, there was no darkness. Say amen. Amen. Darkness had not existed. He's talking about when God looked into the world of creation and said that men will use the light of their life. God knew there's going to be darkness. And God already looked at that darkness of any grade, and he saw that darkness, the darkness of any grade that will exist, because in the created world, once we go to the created world, there's a mayor of darkness that already came upon creation, because it's not the light of God. It's not the light of eternal life. It's eternal life that has what is called absolute light. And God is light. In him is no darkness at all. That's light of eternal life. Are we in the house? Am I still talking to you? So it means that God knew that there's going to be darkness. There's nothing that happened to man, even that happened to Lucifer, that God did not know anything about. God already knew what will happen. He already knew what darknesses will evolve on the earth here. So when you say, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not, you feel like, so did God allow darkness to come in then so I can see how that light will overcome darkness? No. He knew that what darkness will come, which is a kind, that darkness is a kind of light. It's a light that will come on creation after God's prescription of what light men will live by. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's see the next verse. I'm going to read like 8 verses there. There was a man sent from John, okay, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. So you want to see that. So if you want to look at it literally speaking, it's like every man who's coming to the world, God gave him light. No, it was talking about the design in the heart of God that never really played out until Jesus came. No creature actually were able to use that prescribed light until Jesus came as that light. And he called him the true light that God designed to lighten every man that cometh into the world. So it means that nobody should come to the world if he has not seen that light. That's how God designed it. So God already designed how man will be above. Amen. When he created man, he already designed that how man will be able to stand above every other light that will come. Because God already knew that darkness will cover the head. If he knows all things, then it means that he knew that darkness is coming. Say amen. Amen. And that's why the spirit of prophecy also can travel like that one, to the future. Like he can travel to the past, and travel to the future, and find out what's going to be. I said there's going to be evening and morning, there will be evening for us. Watchman, what of the night? Is that morning coming? The evening coming.
That's the spirit of prophecy. It can travel like that. Say amen. So I believe that is the spirit that is traveling, that is describing days to come. So whatever is happening today upon the earth didn't come to man without God's already designed how man will be on top. Say amen. The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire ye, return ye. If there's nothing to fear on earth, it's fear prophetic spirit. If I knew God, that was the fourth being I met, prophetic spirit. And I quaked. Say, hey, amen. He knows the end from the beginning. If all you start from the beginning, he has spanned it out to the end. So there's nothing that can intercept his project along the line that is accidental to him. He has planned it along with it. So the fall of Lucifer has been planned along with it. That it will be needed for man to ascend. So actually he's a help for man. Most of the time, most research prosper in the time of challenges. You can be in the lab for many years and there's not much progress. But let one thing happen to humanity. You see how mind will arise to it and bring ideas. And that's it. So when you hear atomic bomb, it was made at the time of war. Say amen. And that's why China cannot boast of any warfare. Because China, for a long time, has not fought the battle. So even if they have 100 marine whatever, it has not been tested. Amen. Same thing with Russia. For a long time, they didn't fight the war. And they felt they were overrun Ukraine. But it proved wrong because they didn't fight the war. But America is always in war. So they have the most recent development tested. Same thing with Israel. Hallelujah. So God knew that man will need this darkness, really speaking, to move up to where he should be. So the original prescribed light for man is called true light. It's called true light. That is was the original prescribed light for man. True light of God. Or the true light of the true God is the original prescribed light for man. That is the light that no darkness can overcome. That even when you cometh, I was talking about coming to the world. When you cometh, no man cometh to the world. When a man cometh to the world. You know, for a long time, God was shading Jesus from the world. And that's how he does for us. God sometimes shade you. You don't even know what is happening. He just shade you from the world. You don't know anything. You're just doing your own thing. And it's a shading. It's a protection for you to accumulate and to acquire strength and age. But you can't get to the throne if you don't come to the world. So there's a way, every man that cometh. So you must be a man, every man. A child does not come to the world. Are we in the house, please? Who come to the world? Man. Not child. That was the true light, that which lighted every man that cometh. That should have lighted every man that cometh into the world. There's nothing about this world that cannot be a trap. When the devil touches it, when the devil touches anything, it becomes a trap. Say amen. Amen. Even things that are legitimately given to us. Your children can be a trap. Your father can be a trap. Say amen. Your house can be a trap. Now, what was the problem of the men that lived at a time in the Romans chapter 1. What was their problem? In Romans 1, verse 20, let's see that. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Are you there with me, please? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world is from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. So from that place, man can begin to gain access to understanding eternal power and Godhead, and so that it will be without excuse. What's the next verse there? For because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They didn't start with those things. They started by wanting to know God, right? In their sincere heart, what they were looking for was God. Even wanted to know the eternal power and Godhead. But along the line, something happened to them. Something in them, something that the enemy has done in man, diverted the search. I'm not even talking about those who are looking for the world. They are today those who are of the world, who are looking for the world. And we're talking about sons who are looking for God. These ones are not looking for the world. And from their heart, they want to know God. Say amen. Amen. They came to a point professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. And that next verse. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. Progression of what the enemy used, what was in them to achieve. Into an image made like to corruptible man. And to belts and four-footed beasts and creeping things. 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their flesh, their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See this place. Who changed the truth? Truth of God. That's the conflict there. Along the line of their journey. They got to a point they could change the truth of God into a lie. And once that happened, what happened? The next phase was their worship and served creatures more than the Creator. They didn't put away Creator. So they're not idolatrous like we know today. They didn't turn from the Creator, but something along their heart, their love moved from the Creator to creature. And they developed an attraction towards creature. They still go to church, they still worship God, they did all of that. But inside of their heart, things were happening. To tell you that as every day, things are happening within us. And when you are in church, say amen. Amen. And serve the creature more than the Creator. So they ended up with that. And serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Say amen. So I just made that reference to us to see that no man had ever used the true light. These people fell into the hands of the enemy this way because the true light was not yet as available to them. Satan will get wrought with anyone. When he sees that you are traveling with light and you want to have breakthrough to the true light, the word was designed to prevent any soul from reaching the true light. Let me say it again. Immediately the devil succeeded in crafting the world. He went on a break. Because he knew that no soul will be able to escape the world nor soul will be able to access true light. It's after you have overcome the world, or the world also is called darkness. The devil is dark. It's darkness. The world is darkness. Say amen. Amen. The things in the world is darkness. The dark also is this. There are degrees of darkness. So, the world is called is darkness. In the scripture, they call it darkness. Gross darkness is hell and death, which is second death. So I say, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Darkness shall cover the earth. Then gross darkness the people. So once we move to gross darkness, it's irrecoverable. Say amen. But what can cover the earth? The earth is not physical earth. The earth is higher than the world or than the people. So the earth are people who have already moved from the dust to form the earth. So in a way, church can be earth church. Say amen. Amen. Can also be heaven's church. That's why the whole family is in heaven and then in earth. So God has children in earth. So darkness is designed to confront. Actually, darkness came because of God's people. All the world was built to stop God's people. If you're not God's people, you don't have a problem with darkness. What is against you is gross darkness. I went to the house to the other place. So what is called darkness is actually the world. The world. And the world was a construct. Construct of lie. Or construct of redefining what God made. Construct of redefining is not what the devil made. It's to redefine what God made. And make you to relate with what God made. Because once it's redefined, your connection nature changes. I don't know what I'm saying now. Say amen. Look at this. Let's just take an example of the world where people see animals, pets. You like your pet. I went in the house, please. But when the world redefined the pet, you don't just like your pet. You fell in love with your pet. So somebody redefined what has been made. So the world is a construct of Satan using what God made to put in a different emphasis, different definition to it. So you can connect to it in the way he wants. So you're not going to connect, you're not going to be able to connect to it in the way God wants. You connect to it in the way he wants. And it's to ensure that you don't have breakthrough to the world of true light. I went there also. Man was designed to use true light. Now, God himself, because of who he is, has variations of lights as a father. Father of lights, good lights, perfect lights, that is in him because of creation. For him as a being is an entity of perfect light. But if he still has perfect light, he won't be able to reach down to creation who are not made to use perfect light. I went in the house, please. So he can reach to created things by his light. Am I on the same page with you today? That's why you can see the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to flesh. And you want flesh to understand it. That is kind of grade of light that flesh can live with. Am I in the house with you, please? And you can understand the need to receive the Holy Ghost, all of that. It's because of where we are. If we're not there, we won't be talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. Because if we are spirit, then we live in the spirit. You won't be talking about how to receive the Holy Ghost. Because that is where you are. That's your dwelling place. Are we in the house with that place? So many things we come to learn today to do is because of where we are. It wouldn't have been there if we were not there, our state. And so God can come to our state because of his nature to reach to us, to bless us. Hallelujah. So the Son is the one that captures the real nature or the real frame of the Father. You know, we say God, the Father, is not just as simple as that. The Father has what makes him up. Say amen. Am I in the house with you, please? Now that's what the gospel came to make real to us. To see that God is not just an object like that. God wants us to know him. The gospel's job is to make God known. Because if you don't know God, if you don't come to know who God really is and how God really is, you won't be able to assess the things of God against the enemy. Because when you reach to God as a being that way, many things about him you can't reach. Because he's higher than us. Am I in the house, please? So, one of the things of the scriptures of the prophets that's amazing is Jeremiah 10:10. Let's read that, please. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. He was actually going to talk about the everlasting King. I don't know how the Spirit moved the prophet to treat him to that, to hope him, but the Lord is a true God. Now, when you are talking about the true God to Israel, he's talking about the God of their fathers. Say amen. Amen. So really, they don't know the true God. They were on a journey of knowing the true God. Say amen. All the children of Abraham don't know the true God. The reason for the priesthood is to train them and prepare them to know the true God. So true God was a future that they are supposed to come to know. But the one that is manifest in terms of acts among them is the living God. So he is the true God and also the living God. He's both the true God and the living God. So it means also that when you are talking about the Lord, who is God? The Lord, who is God? He's talking about the Father, right? Are we in the house together? The Lord is, who is the true God? It's the Father. So the Father is the living God. The Father is the true God. The Father is the living God. And the Father is also an everlasting King. And the Father is the one, by reason of who he is, who is made, who is designed to make all things tremble under his feet. It means you can't crack through the living God. For Israel, once they hear that the living God is in their midst, what happens to the nation around them? They tremble. Because the living God is the one that conquers his enemies. Now, so they have seen that much in natural warfare of God conquering. Once they bring in the ark, what would they say? The Lord their God, the living God, is coming to their midst. Say amen. Amen. And the nations will tremble. The first time they took the ark to war and they didn't see the living God was in the days of Eli. The enemies have already screamed to themselves that their God has come. Until then, somebody just said that, let's fight back. How are we going to give up like that one? And they fought and they won. And they captured the ark. To know that the ark itself is not the living God. But the living God uses the ark as the place to make manifest his presence. Say amen. So they were supposed to know. They were not supposed to just use living God in warfare. It means that what God expected for Israel is to know the living God. If you don't know the living God, you don't have the right, you don't have the access to know the true God. And in knowing the living God, what you will know is their light. What they use, what they engage is their light. So the living God has his light. Say amen. And the true God has his light. Now, that is what also makes the sun. So the sun is both living and true. What I say? I'm going somewhere. The sun is both living and true because his father is living and true. So living and true is not just a Bible language. It's defining a nature that they are supposed to make manifest. Living and true. And also for the sun, it defines the work they are supposed to do in the sun. So the living does what is called the first work he's talking about, or he talked about, and the true does the last work. So that is the work that is to be done in the sun. When the work is done, we say the sun is living. When the other one is done, we say the sun is true. Then it means that he can fully represent his father, who is both living and true. Are we in the house, please? So it means that that sun has used their light. Say amen. Amen. I'm taking that place to mean that. So when Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It means that he's saying, I have fully used the living light. I have fully used the living light. Because one of the things that must be done along the line to say that he's the son of the father. If you have not used their light, you are not their son. They actually use their light to bat us. Say amen. He's the father of lights. So his light and his children are lights. He's the father of lights. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the children are lights. What are the children? Lights. What are they? The living lights. So a living son is a living light. What did I say? Then a true son is a true light. And in a way, it's God. It's God. That's the realm of God, realm of the Father. So when Jesus say, I'm one with my Father, he's not trying to play quality. He's talking about the fact that what my Father has is what I have. So if you access their light, you use their light, you become who they are. Say amen. I am a father, I won. If you are just a religious person, you will be. Who is this person? But if you are in their world, you will know that it's qualified to say, I am a father, I won. For the father is light, he's the father of lights. And now he begat children, are lights. In today's world, you know, say amen. You know, when you say Muslims, the Muslim says God does not have a child. It tells you how dumb that system is. God does not have a wife. Very dumb. Even there are animals today, plants today, who have children without wife. Some of them are hermaphrodites. Some of them are just unisexual. Just one of them, and they have offspring without mating. So if in creation, God would have put that in creation, they do not think that God will need a wife. God is a spirit. Say amen. So also his children are spirits. Am I with you today? Say amen. Come on, shout amen. So, it means that the way God begat children is to send his light. If you can use his light, then he will begat you. I think that same place in John James 1 itself, his own will begat us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures, of his own will. So when in his of his own will, it's of his own light. When he sent his light, that's his will he sent to us. Then he can begat us by that. We can be born. We can be children. So when we say children, it's not just that God is just trying to make us feel like good. By saying we are children, he's saying that he can burn us. We can carry his nature. Say amen. Amen. That his light can be used to reframe us and we'll be his children really. Hallelujah. So, Jesus to us became a pattern person of how a man gained or accessed the lights of the Father and fully used them to gain ascension or gain overcoming over the main entities that the enemy became so that man would not have access to what God ordained for man. The world is a major, major enemy. That's why if any man love the world, if any man love the world, it's an acid test. If a man love the world, it means that man have loved the world before. He's talking to a generation. He's not talking to all every human being. All men are lovers of the world. We are in the world. We are circumscribed by the world. In fact, we don't even know the world. He was talking to a people who are using living light. Say amen. He was not talking to the whole church. If any man who is in the living light still loves the world, it means he has not reached the end of that faith. Because living world also is a faith. Say amen. It's a faith that ends in love. The beginning of it is faith. Are we in the house, please? The end of it is in love. So if you begin in the faith of it, when you get to the end of it, you should be with the love of the Father. So if they still find the love of the world in you, then definitely the love of the Father, you didn't reach the end of that faith. Just like the faith of Christ as its beginning, what's the end of that faith? Charity. Are we in the house, please? What is charity? Charity, you know, seeketh not our own. What again? Hopeth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. There's the first side of charity. Let's see that first side of charity. This is the God side of charity. Let's see that man's side of charity. He's kind. Suffereth long, is kind. Envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. That's the man's side of charity. When he finished this side, he moved to the other side of charity. He hopeth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Are we in the house, please? Say amen. Amen. So it means that he's perfecting charity here. Are you in the house together? So it means that the end of faith is charity. Or the end of the commandment of faith is charity. Both for Christ's world and for the Father's world. Am I with you today? So if you begin with the faith, which is called the most holy faith. If you start with the most holy faith, you should end up with their love, which is the love of the Father. If you are there, then it means you have transcended the love of the world. So if they find the love of the world in you, then really the love of the world, you didn't reach the end of it. It means you are trapped somewhere. Amen. So, for Jesus, I believe that it was after Jordan, really, that they exposed him to the world. After Jordan, that he became exposed to the world. That is when you start seeing meaning to everything in life. You know, Pastor was talking about his son the other time there. At the point that he doesn't know all those food things, not a big thing. You know what I'm saying? Give it. But it doesn't mean it will remain like that forever. At another point, when the world starts defining it for you, it's not going to just be a thing of you, I give you, you eat. Another meaning must be given to that thing that will not make it easy for you to give. So something you have done at a point in your life that was easy to do, and that point is no more going to be easy to do because a new law is at work. It means when you say the word is what? It's an understanding. Say amen. This is not word. But this thing we can give you an understanding. Somebody can give you an understanding about this thing. We want to have seen now that we are hearing it. You are here, you are hearing the message going on there, and somebody is defining things for you. Somebody is telling you the real meaning of many things in the house here. That when you go, you leave the house, you are not just as innocent as the person who came in here, just go and hear message. You are at an age where you can know the world. So when you come at, the Lord said, he said, coming to the world is not simple thing. For you to, a man to come to the world, he must have age. Say amen. And that was why, after Jordan, what happened? He was led of the Spirit to the wilderness. Are we in the house, please? To be tempted of the devil. It's not yet facing dragon. It's the devil who is the father of evil. Who is the father of this world. The devil is the father of this world. Are we in the house, please? And they allowed Jesus. He was led of the Spirit. He was not led by Satan. Because the next phase of his agenda with God must be free from the world influence. If he does not conquer the world at those points, the cross will not fulfill its end. Because the cross is not about a man dying on the cross. There is a mandate of a season of life that should be trapped, that should be offered on the cross. So it's not just a man die and his blood shed. What is in the blood of that man that was shed? A blood can be shed and the blood is containing the world. Because blood is not blood. I think you know blood is not blood. That's why suffering is not suffering. Suffering is not suffering. Some suffering you go through is for your foolishness. Why some suffering is suffering of Christ? Praise God. It was led of the Spirit. Because it was a must. They can't keep on delivering from evil. There's an instruction on flee fornication. Say amen. And that point Paul says, a man should know how to possess his body. You can't be fleeing every day. When you are a child, flee. Say amen. He didn't say flee from women. Flee from fornication. But some have tend to flee from women. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that sometimes God keep us from the world, okay? Just keep us, flee, all of that. But that is not how we're going to overcome. So I believe that Jesus has been so much kept to be raised in Israel. I don't know how many times he has been to Jerusalem from Bethlehem. Maybe, I don't know how many instances he has been to Jerusalem. Say hey, man. But remember, that is an age of wisdom across the whole world. It was in the age of Aristotle. It was in the age of Plato, Socrates, and the fame of these people are all over the world. So there's no way a child is going to grow up, as it were, and will not have to meet with those wisdom. Say amen. Because they are the builders of the world. Like we're talking about, they are we call them egg what? Eggheads. They are the ones that craft the world that men live in. Hallelujah. So God kept him from them. God kept him from them. But you won't get to the throne by just keeping you from them. There's going to be an age when they will lead you to confront them, to know them, and to answer by the Spirit, by reason of the building you have been made up over the years. And I believe that's what happened in that temptation. So it was like, Jesus, come and see the world. And he didn't have to travel out of Israel to see the world. He saw the world in the spirit. He saw the world in his mind. I think you know that was that 40 days was a moment of enlightenment to his mind, like never before. Things that God would not allow you to think. He was permitted to think it in that time. Think kingdom. Think rulership. Think glory. Think everything that makes this world. God, there's this world. Are we in the house, please? And also things in this world. The world is an eggshell for the things inside of it. The things out of it is that are the very strength sustainer or traps that hold souls in this world. When it comes to the loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. They are the things that are in the world. But they are not the world. There is the world that contains them. Are we in the house together, please? Say amen. So in our journey in the spirit, season is going to come for us when God will start allowing you to confront the world. In fact, there's no way you're going to journey in the spirit and access, have breath to the true light without knowing the world. You must see the world. You must meet the world. And you must overcome the world. Say amen. So this is not, it's not a Bible theory. It's a reality. It's not a Bible thing, it's a reality. The whole reason for the Christ teaching or the inheritance of the faith that's in Christ is to prepare us with a foundation that can move into the sphere where you can be raised with a building. What Bible was talking about flesh there is your building. Because there's a building that this world gives to you. There's a covering it gives to you. There's a definition it gives to you. Without the world, we are naked. What gives us existence on the earth here in terms of who we are is the world. That's our identity. So if they're going to deal with identity, they must weave a new clothing. Or they must grow another body. Say amen. What did I say? They must grow and it's a covering you have. They must weave another body for you. It's in weaving that new body for you that you will confront the choice to either keep your former body or former flesh. Confront your former flesh or let it go. That is the procedure of the living God. The living God's job is to ensure that you begin to have body. Frame with their body that can carry the eternal God. Say amen. Amen. Are we in the house together today? Are you being blessed at all? Yes, say amen. Amen. So, overcoming is not just one day, bro. There's a all life preparation. That's why church, really church, is to prepare men for this season. If the church sometimes wants to just, you are born again, they want to take away the word from you. And the way they take it from you is to give you abstinences. And don't eat, don't put on, don't do that. This matter is in the soul. Even when you take it away, the soul still wear it. So Colossians says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Can you see that? And whose whatever, all program is about how you don't relate with this world. It's not. You don't get better by not using a car. Say amen. Amen. You don't get better by not using a good dress. You don't get better. Wherefore, if we be dead with Christ from the rudiment of the world, why as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with using. So naturally, they are supposed to perish with using. They don't mean anything. They're not supposed to mean anything. Are we in the house? But somebody makes them mean things to us. When you even think that, oh, They are worldly. It's meaning something to you. There's a construct that's informing you that. Many years ago, you didn't know about that. A construct that's informing you. After the commandments of and doctrines of man, which things have endued a shield of wisdom in we worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfy of the flesh. Say amen. So you see that the essence of the living God, praise God. Let's see 1 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes and our hands have handled of the word of life, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. Are you with me here? So you can understand here that there's something about the Father that Jesus wanted the apostles to see. To see before he left the world, and to see much more after he has left. When Peter said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God," why was that moment so important in the spirit? He just said, "What do you call me?" Men, so what is important about what you call me? And they said, men said this, men said that, men said, and Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Are you there with me? What Jesus said? Flesh and blood cannot, has not revealed it unto thee. But my Father, which is in heaven. Now what's the next thing? "And upon this, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Say amen. "And the gates of hell." So it means that for Jesus, the church should be facing the gate of hell. The church should not be struggling with sin and death. I don't know if you are in that place. "Upon this rock, I will build my church." So it means that upon this rock, I will build my church. So it means that the church, his church, must have this rock. If it doesn't have this rock, it's not still exactly my church. Is that not what it means, sir? What is that rock? Christ, the living God, or living Son. Is Christ the living Son? "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art Christ, the Son. So that's why Christ is an hidden foundation. Living Son is the real foundation. That's the sure foundation. I don't know if you got what I'm saying now. So Christ is the hidden foundation. The living Son is the sure foundation. Both Christ and the living Son, it tells that. So Christ is not exactly the same as the living Son. Are you in the house with me, please? Say amen. So it means that if the church, so as Christ the living Son, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, that revelation of the person, which is actually a person, that revelation is actually what? I can't hear you, please. So Christ is the person. Christ, the Son of the living God, is another person. So there's Jesus, that became Christ. There's Jesus that is Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not the same person. Say amen. But it's the same Jesus. You think you get it? I want to be sure. So the same Jesus became Christ. That Christ, that what he became, is all for us. If it doesn't become it, then we don't know how to assess the syllabus of God to ascend to God's ordination for us. We can't jump to God. We must be raised to God. And so, in racing, there are persons that are in the building. Christ is a person. The Son, Christ the Son, that's what, you can't say the Son of the living God. No, there must be Christ the Son of the living God. It's another person. Are you already in the house here? So for them, Jesus wanted them, he wanted his church to be the foundation. The foundation must not be Christ. The foundation must be Christ, the Son of the living God. So, in the beginning message, really speaking, if you start with learning Christ and you don't get to the living God, you have not finished your foundation learning. Say amen. Okay, let's see John. Let's see John. The essence of the old book of John. Let's see. Praise God. Say amen. John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Are you there? And we believe and are sure that thou art what? Now, there's a journey, between Peter at Caesarea Philippi and this place. When Peter said that, he said it by the Spirit. He didn't know what he said. Jesus said, what you said is not yet flesh and blood in you. It's not yet part of you. But my Father gave you an express revelation. In any way, this is the building structure of my church. It's not based on, you understood, you don't know. This is what my church should be built on. Upon this foundation, I will build my church. So, it means real building. Say amen. Real building begin after the living God. So, let's see that place I was reading in John. John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's see, same John 20, is it? Say amen. Amen. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, not the Son of the living God. It means that the old thing was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the true God. So, what am I saying? That he's supposed to be known in those syllables. Because knowing him in those syllables is meant for a walk. Say amen. It's meant to do something against the enemy. Actually, that was the reason why the Son of God was manifested. It was manifested, or it was exposed this way to destroy. The work of the devil is not to crack what he has, it's not to crack him down. The devil is a complicated being. And the things he made, I tell you, for a man to manage this whole world. Even sometimes you ask ChatGPT, his head will be hot. I won't be saying nonsense. That's a job done to bring the best of reasoning of many minds together into one person. And somebody is managing ChatGPT himself. So, on intelligence, the devil is super intelligent. But God has already put in place how to handle him. And that's what the Father consoled and delivered to the Son. It's a document of how to destroy the works of the devil. Say, hey, amen. So, the manifestation of his person is not just meant for us to know as information. It's manifestation for participation or manifestation for fellowship. Say, hey, amen. Because its manifestation is light. So Christ is light. Are we in the house, please? Christ, the Son of the living God, is a light. Christ, the Son of God, is a light. These are grades of light that are meant to handle grades of darkness. Because all about the devil is darkness. Both sin, death, world, dragon, they are all forms of darkness. Hallelujah. Say hey, amen. So it's not easy to tamper with him. Except the works of God. So Christ, the Son of the living God, is a work of God. It's a work wrought by God. Say amen. It's a light wrought by God. Is a light form, is a life formed by God that has the capacity to destroy the world. His target is the world. Is to take the first darkness and dissolve it. That is his target. So for Jesus, if he was manifested and declared, now thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, and we are sure, it's because the works in him has destroyed the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Say amen. It means I am who I am. I am whom you say I am. So it's not an appellation. It's what I became. And what wanted to show what I became is that the world was overcome. So I'm not avoiding the world. I know the world. And I'm on top of the world. Let the world come again in unwritten shade. I understand you. And now you are framed. I understand how you walk. I'm not avoiding you. I'm on top of you. Say amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. You know, there are places that it's not easy to say, I'm sent to go and do evangelism. Amen. Are we in the house, please? When you are young, we have a lot of zeal. There are those who feel that I am sent to go and preach to prostitutes. I say, are you sure you have the commission and the grace to do this? And because what you are seeing there is not just a mirror, it's world. I went in the house to get that place. But a time comes in your life where I just look at Jesus at Sychar, at that well of Jacob. Say, amen. Tired. Fact out. to be able to engage in that level of discussion with that woman. Now, when you are tired, you don't want to talk. One of the things you don't like to do when you are tired is talking. If anybody wants anything, please collect it down. Take and just go. You don't want to talk. To exhume that body of thoughts in that state. When the disciples came back, they said, no, somebody has given this man food to eat. Our labor is in vain. Somebody has brought food for this man to eat. When they met him with the level of energy and eloquence. Say amen. Because when he saw that woman, he saw a future. He saw a world. He saw God's provision to save every man. All that Jacob word represents is everlasting life, everlasting wealth. Sir, if you are still contending with the world, you can't do that. Say hey, amen. Are we in the house, please? You can't do that. You won't sit at that point. You will have finished. Before you remember. And I could laugh. But a whole Bible passage. Sir, a whole Bible passage. The only place you find in the old gospel how to worship is in John chapter 4. The time has come when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And they that worship God shall worship him. This is revelation in John. What you saw there is the book of Revelation. Say amen. You know, we use it in our faith, worship God in spirit. We don't know what is called in truth. What do you know is called truth? You can be learning truth and not be in truth. To be in truth is that you have your dwelling place in truth. It's not after some tongues. Let's worship God. Let's worship God in spirit. You are not in spirit. Say amen. to pray in tongues is not to be in spirit. Say hallelujah. And just look at that chunk of chapter 4. If it's not in the Bible, if it's not in the gospel, something is not going to be, out of place. It happened when a man's physical building was already giving way. The building and that building spoke. Another building began to officiate. He talked with that woman to a point that the woman left. Do you know what water pot meant to an Israeli woman? A water pot of water. Because that water pot of water to come from Samaria to that place to come and fetch water from a deep well. So when she finished, the woman left. But she didn't remember she came to fetch water. He has said something great. He went and said, come and see. Is this not the Christ? Come and see. A man who spoke to me everything I've ever done. Come and see. And funniest thing, men followed him. Followed her. Not ladies, not women. Men. That's not ordinary, man. She contacted something on that day. Something landed on her. Say, hey, man. So, what I'm saying is that God made those buildings to us as building to hope. And when we hope in them and become those buildings, some things happen. in our lives. And that is the instrument of our either betting, being born, betting. Because I say, thou art the Son of the living God, is born. It's born there. That's what that is born there. It's, so at that time for saying it became, is that he was born. That's why we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be born again many times. Being born again. Being born again. Say, hey, man. I went to the house, please. So it's a new child in that world. Say, hey, man. So I'm not letting us see that. That which was in the beginning. So can you see that? Which was in the beginning? There are beings in the beginning. The living Son or the living God is in the beginning. The true Son is in the beginning. They all enter the beginning. That clearly is not the beginning of this present creation. It's that which was in the beginning. So for all the apostles, they got to that place that they knew that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. Then after Jesus Christ died, they received the understanding or the revelation. Say amen. Amen. They received the revelation of that person that they saw. That made them witnesses. Now, if ordinarily speaking, if you can see that the way it was, not that which was in, which we have seen which, with our eyes, which we have, and which we have heard with our ears, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. It now says that which was in the beginning, we have seen and heard. That's what when they became witnesses. So witnesses will see and hear. But when they start to show them, they will hear. See, look upon, handle as practices. But when you become to make a witness, is that they will make you now, after you have seen, you start hearing from seeing. I think they made the same thing for Paul. Let's see Acts of the Apostle, 22:14, quickly. And he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one. And that thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Can you see that? So, for witnesses, for you to say you have seen and you have fellowship, then you must have seen and hear. So it means that what you have seen is now speaking back to you. Say, hey, man. That's levels fellowship. To become a witness. So, for the apostles, they were all witnesses. So, they were not witnesses from the gospel. They became witnesses after Jesus Christ died and resurrected. To make them now see the just one. What is see? To understand the revelation of that person called Jesus, the Son of the living God. It means that they now have materials of understanding to show the Son. You know, one thing the devil uses in all his degree of manifestation is understanding. When you hear the word, that kind of understanding, it's that kind of understanding. It's not without reasoning. It's that kind of reasoning. Are we in the house here? So Christ is an understanding. Christ the Son of the living God is an understanding. Christ the Son of the true God is an understanding. And we know that the Son of God is come. And he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. This is the true God. Even in the Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. So when you say eternal life, it's an understanding. Say amen. So what they shed on us is understanding. What they bring to us is an understanding. All the sin has is understanding. That's why it can persuade us. Are we in the house? I'm saying. You know, what he has is understanding. It's wisdom, understanding. is to let you know how, why to do it and have your way. And when he convinces you, you see that's workable. And when you are not caught, you will escape. You look wise and you look smart. If then you are caught, you just feel like, what is this to me? Well, it's meant so much to him for many years. Say, you understand what I'm saying? He now treat the money. What of the one you have been collecting before? You hold the bag, you steal from it, you spend from it without authority. You did they not caught you. Do you want to not smell your hand? What is this to me? No wonder he went to go and hang. If he actually repented, he won't hang himself. He felt ashamed. He was embarrassed. Because he has been doing it and be escaping. And Jesus knew he was stealing. Not by shaking the purse. He knew by the spirit he was stealing. He wasn't shaking the purse. He wasn't calculating how much did we collect, how much was remaining. He wasn't coward. And he did confront him one day. So he felt nobody saw him. You'll be with Jesus. We're not afraid. But when you know talk at all, you know that. Oju. Praise God. Say amen. So what I'm saying is that the living Son is body. It's where body building begins, or flesh begins. And that's where flesh is destroyed. Flesh can't be destroyed except with under flesh. What did I say, please? You can't just say, I want to lay away flesh. No, you can put flesh under. Doesn't mean you have overcome flesh. You put it under. And you must always be putting your leg. Say you understand when you put a cork inside water. You must not remove your hand though. So you can put flesh, you can render him like that's why reckon ye therefore. You know what I'm saying now? What's the meaning of reckon? Count it, he's not dead though, but count it as. And he can take that person of death for a long time like that one. But the day. And we are like, these are all skills of our inner development. I want to say, when they stand to reckon dead and you use it well, you will escape. But when a new face has been open to you, and it's not supposed to be reckoned, that's your matter. You want to reckon, it will show up. And that's where it comes to embarrass. Say amen. Amen.
Gobio da dede mo shaka. E kunana dobe dede ni oko koko. Owurieke, awutada, aiba mana shekemondo, dudia kobiaka, egagelio shebio sadio mukayakeka, kaiba da 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 da.
Amen. Say amen. Amen. So two things God has to give to us, his flesh and his blood. What did I say? I can't hear you. Please say very well. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal. You cannot have eternal life. Two things. Jesus said unto them, "Very verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink him, ye have no life in you." Take me on that place. He mentioned eternal life. Look for that place for me. Thank you for bearing my little talk, my little contribution. He has done the job. I just came to say amen. Maybe I came to make it more difficult. Praise the Lord. We're in a good time for in this meeting, though. By the time we get to Thursday, Friday, something will have happened. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. So eternal life is packaged in his flesh and his blood. And it's not like you cut his flesh and eat, like they thought about it. It's an understanding. So flesh, say amen. Flesh is building. Blood is his life or breath. Flesh is his building. And so the first place when they test flesh building or flesh raising is conflict with the world. Or is confrontation with the world. If indeed you have his flesh, then you'll be able to overcome the world. Say amen. Amen. If indeed you have his flesh and you have loved the flesh. Because you can't have his flesh and not love the flesh. When you eat the flesh, because my body is meat indeed. My flesh is meat indeed. What does it mean? Indeed. So you are going to come to a point when you eat it and becomes your reality. Say amen. It becomes your reality. So it's not a thing that will force on you. You will wear it and becomes your reality. It's flesh indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. This is Jesus talking. Not apostles reporting. Jesus says my flesh is meat indeed. Indeed, in truth, in reality. So a time will come when we will eat that flesh or we will put on that flesh and to us it will be reality. Say amen. Amen. We won't look for another clothing because the word is to clothe you. It's when you are clothed that you can put away another cloth. Because nobody wants to be naked. Everybody wants to be clothed. Say amen. In the world of those who are into nude, all of that, they will still put something somewhere as a symbol that man should not be naked. I say, and if somebody comes and remove that thing they put there, maybe just on their nipple or their breast, and they feel like, but you have exposed everything now. So it means inside the conscience, a man should not be naked. I say in this season, we seek our true clothing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your message to us today. We give you all the praise for all you have done for us. Thank you. Thank you, Son of God. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. Jesus, we love you.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.